states movements to do that, chemical castration, by not by the government, but, you know, if the offenders want to...
They have to agree to it, in other
volunteer
words.
To be in that program, you know, that's something. But, of course, everybody gets hysterical about that.
I want to talk more about that. You've said it now a couple of times, and I've always been fascinated with chemical castration and other... Because there are times when I've heard some crimes and some criminal aspects that have been done, and I've always wanted them to be a permanent real castration, Sergeant Betsy, and carry a bag around with them for the rest of their life.
That's a different thing, Malcolm.
No, I know. I hear you, love. But I'm saying that's how much I took it in. As a, you know, like,
right.
Sometimes you hear these crimes. Come on, you know, I mean, and I know that doesn't sound right, but, I mean, the baloney. I mean, if they've done something so bad, so evil, I mean, I got to tell you, it has crossed my mind. Now, Dr. Faye, is that wrong? Because that's crossed my mind. Now, and I'm being very serious here. Let's say there was a guy, and he went ahead and did X, Y, and Z to these young girls or what have you, and really butchered their lives. What I think should happen, we should absolutely cut his penis off 100,000,000%. And he should be attached to a bag for the rest of his life. And now he can't screw anything. How's that?
So you're asking me that question.
Well, we'll start with you, and then since you're the ordained minister, we'll start with you, and then I'll go to Sergeant Betsy.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
All right, well, certainly you've heard the names Kevin Spacey, Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, Roy Moore, the politician. There's a lot more, friends, and the list is big. Now, these are famous names. These are people's names you've probably heard because they're part of pop culture. There's a lot of famous names and people who fall on one side or the other of sexual abuse. It's a different environment today, people. This whole Me Too movement became a big, big deal, and a lot of these public figures came out. But what about also just real people like you and I in our own lives? You know, it's a very interesting phenomenon out there that, quite frankly, I've never been able to really grasp. A very interesting piece in Time magazine, which Betsy asked me earlier, just coming out, does anybody read that anymore, Malcolm? I said, sure, some people do. So the story was, can bad men change? Sex crimes and therapy. I always wonder this. Can people really change? Or if they are a sex addict, a sex pervert, does it always stay that way? Or can they truly, truly change? You know, sometimes if you sign up with your counties or your states, you get these notices in when there's a sex offender in the neighborhood. That's an interesting program, too. So they're warning you. Once you're labeled with this, from what I understand, you keep that label for life, I believe. I don't think there's a way to sort of lose it. We'll find out today on the show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. It's Malcolm Out Loud here. You know, this is going to be a very interesting topic. We'll all learn something here. Let me introduce you to our co-host today. Dr. Faye Wilson is here. She's an author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, and underdog advocate. Sergeant Betsy Smith, police officer for 29 years, a law enforcement trainer for over 20 of those years, consultant, trainer, and author to the industry. And quite frankly, Sergeant Betsy was just telling me she's worked in this field very specifically, and Dr. Faye was as well from a counseling side of things. Let's pick it up right there. Sergeant Betsy, in your world and field of law enforcement, I would imagine that sex crimes is a big deal. I would think that even when sometimes it doesn't appear to be a big deal, or maybe, you know, maybe it doesn't quite point that way initially, I'm kind of thinking that potentially, I don't know what the percentage is, but I bet you a lot of crimes are related in one way, shape, form, or another to these offensive sex behavioral aspects to them. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all. And the thing is, you know, sex crimes very, very often are, they're power crimes. They really have little to do with sex. Sex is just the weapon. And, you know, I, because I was a female, I have been working sex crimes virtually my whole career. You know, they would always bring a female officer in if we had a female victim. Then later on, I was a, I worked child-involved sex crimes with children as the victims and teenagers as the victims. So I'm a little cynical about all this, and I've just seen some horrific things, and it has little to do, little or nothing to do with socioeconomic conditions, your family structure, your religious structure.
Really?
All of that. I mean, just the wealthiest people have this in their life. The poorest people have this in your life. And it's much more common than I think people realize. And now we're getting comfortable talking about it. You know, back in the day when I was a kid in the, you know, 60s, 70s, you didn't talk about this stuff, even if it was going on. And now we talk about it. Now we talk about it a lot.
Well, it's out in the open now. It's out in the open.
It absolutely is.
But we didn't. But Betsy, that's a great point you make. But keep in mind, Betsy, we didn't even talk about, you know, that your cousin Lily was gay. That wasn't a conversation you'd have at the dinner table either, you know, back then.
Well, exactly. And I think that's one of the things that we need to start with is what we have to define it. Mm-hmm. Now with the Me Too movement and the hashtag Time's Up movement, now every little thing's a sexual assault. You know, quite frankly, if I'm walking down the street and somebody pats me on the ass and says, hey, you got a nice ass, that's not a sexual assault. That's an assault. You can't pat my ass without me giving you permission. But I have not been sexually assaulted.
I see.
If we're on a date and the date didn't go well and you still try and kiss me at the end of the date and I push you away and say, uh-uh, you did not sexually assault me. You did not sexually assault me. You were a cad and, you know, technically under the law, you assaulted me, touching me without my permission. Hmm. But that's not sexual assault. And that's what we get today. Now we're just attaching everything to sexual assault.
So the lines are blurry. You're saying they. I didn't realize as much.
What it does is the victims of real sexual assault are kind of pushed into this huge category of, oh, we're all victims. No, if you've been assaulted as a child, sexually assaulted, or you've been raped as an adult, you know, you're a very special kind of victim that we need to treat very, very kindly. And Dr. Faye can talk more about this. We need to treat you very specially to help you recover, because that is such an invasive assault, and it permeates your life, whether you were assaulted as a child or you were sexually assaulted as an adult. It affects your whole life, virtually for the rest of your life, don't you think, Dr. Faye?
Absolutely, because of the emotional and psychological abuse that happens at the same time the physical abuse is going on. And we are living in a society where we are just now evolving enough to have this open conversation, especially in the West, where the word sex is taboo.
Mm-hmm.
You say anything about it, it's like, oh, no, don't talk about that. When people are obviously involved in sexual activities all of the time. And we were raised in an environment a few decades ago where if someone did cross those lines, you didn't say anything. You were told to keep silent. You know, there was a hush law, even within families, that you don't talk about those things. You don't let it go public. And so now with the media, I think that's a positive thing the media has done, is expose those predators and to bring it to light. And also where we do have what Malcolm mentioned earlier, the websites that will let you know when there is a sexual offender in your area.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about children and we talk about the innocent, we talk about special needs adults, disabled people who are being violated, especially encountering neighbors and family members and have not been defended properly, that I think we're at a place in our society while we are having these open conversations that we need to get some more legislation on the books. And also to be really clear about definitions. Because for me, personally, I think being offended, sexual offense is in the eye of the beholder. Perhaps I should say it that way. If you're crossing a line and I don't want you to cross, the law may call it one thing. But if I say no, then no is no on all levels. If I don't want you to kiss me, if I don't want you to touch me, then you've still violated me. You've come into my personal space.
Well, yeah, Sergeant Betsy's saying that's assault, but not sexual assault. There's a difference between the two. Are you saying different or?
No, I'm not saying different. I'm saying the two definitely should be defined. But if there is an offense, I think people need to, especially women and our children, need to understand that there is a personal space. Like I teach my little niece what personal space is.
Right.
And if anyone comes closer than your personal space, you're to scream help. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, I like the idea of personal space. That is a good way to put it, Dr. Faye. And I think we need to be more respectful as a society that we're all being, that is sacred space around somebody. You really, there's no reason, as Betsy, you were saying, the difference between assault and sexual assault, which is a great way to start this conversation. But, you know, it's important we educate everybody that, you know, assault of any kind is not acceptable, clearly. And I think this space around somebody is important. And there's a lot of that is missing today, where people violate that in one way, shape, form, or another. I want to ask you something, Dr. Faye, a very tough question that before Betsy even answers it, because I'm curious what you might say, just because I don't really know the answer to these things. So again, this is something that has never touched my life personally in any way, shape, or form. So I can't really speak about this from personal experience, you see. I can only speak about this as a human being, as a person that is well educated on all these matters. But that's it. I could just, you know, understand what the factors may or may not be like.
Sure.
Probably a lot of
sure.
you people listening. I don't have personal experience in this in one way, shape, form. And when I say that, people, I'm talking about victor or victim. You know, you got two sides of this thing, okay?
Right.
And so I can't speak to that anyway. I can't speak about it with my children. I can't, because it's in my family growing up. We had seven. I this never touched my life in any way, shape, form, or another. I mean, and you know, I got to tell you, ladies, I look at us as being civil. I speak for my own family, my own life. I look at us as being civilized people. We never went. I never understood that world, you know, that people would do these kinds of things. So maybe that's a little bit of naivety there, too. I don't know. But I know it, this stuff clearly goes on all the time. For me, I don't have a lot of patience for it when I hear about it, because you don't want to see those injustices with innocent people that are being violated. My heart goes out to them consistently. But here's what I want to ask you. The big question here is, and Time says it right in this big piece they wrote here, can bad men change? And I'm curious about this question. So, because there are a lot of people who've done something in their life, but when it comes to sex crimes and therapy, let me ask you right up front here, Dr. Faye, we'll explore this more throughout the show and also explore childhood, because I have some feelings and thoughts about that. But can bad men change? Can they change from being a sexual criminal to a normal person, Dr. Faye?
Yeah, bad men can change, but there are some people, regardless of what, if they have changed, that did not heal the person that they offended. And so
you're talking about the victims,
saying that they can change does not get them off the hook.
Gotcha. So there's a price to pay for that. But let's stay with that just a moment. And I get you with what you say there. But I don't forget the victim a moment. Let's talk about the person who's done it, the criminal. Can they really be, can therapy change their mind? Is that possible?
It's possible for some. I don't think it's possible for every one of them, mm-hmm. Malcolm. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
Right.
I think that there are some people that are rotten to the core, that are wicked, and doesn't matter what you do to them, mm-hmm. they will not change.
Yeah.
They are the devil's bunch. They were going to stay the devil's bunch
Evil.
Until the day they die.
Yeah,
That's just the way it
I, you
is.
know, Faye, I remember a story just recently, and I'm trying to remember where or what or how I seen it, but it was a guy who wanted to die. I don't know if you all heard this. It was recent times here. The guy wanted to die because he did not want to sexually assault anybody else. He couldn't help himself anymore. He knew it.
I remember that. I remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, that was it. Somewhere that's in my mindset. I don't know where that came from, but and he wanted to die because he knew it was so wrong. And he didn't want to do it to another person, and he knew he couldn't help himself. Betsy, Sergeant Betsy, have you seen people like that?
Oh, boy. Absolutely. I'll be honest. I've had to, and all cops should do this. You know, I've had to seek counseling over various courses of my career because when you deal with people like that day in and day out, you start to think all of humanity is that way, and you can. But I'm real cynical with good reason about sex offenders. I would say, and this is completely unscientific on my part, but probably about 10% of them are savable, and about 90% are exactly what Faye says. They are the devil's lot. And and were some of them victims as children? Absolutely. I mean, you know, lots of sex offenders were sexual assault victims, especially when they were children. But some are just pure evil of heart and were born that way or grew up that way. And because, again, this is the thing. Remember, this is a crime of great invasive power. Mm-hmm. And once they have that thirst for there is no more power over a human being than to sexually assault them, except to kill them. So this is just incredibly, it's power-based, it's so evil, and these people don't change. There's something that they do, and there's a few other countries that do this, and we've talked about it over the decades in sexual assault circles, if you will, professional circles, is chemical castration. Take away at least the ability,
I've heard that.
If not the desire. That's something that, but most of these people, you just have to lock them up and keep them away. And that's why I like the sex offender registries, so that we at least know. But the problem is, and like in that Time Magazine article, they profile a group of offenders that are working with social workers, and they've got ankle bracelets and this and that. I would love to see a follow-up in 5 years about how many of those in counseling reoffend, because I'll bet it's 90%.
Yeah, so you're saying there are exceptions to the rule, but by far and large, from what you've seen from your experience in the field, that many of these people are simply not savable in a normal environment, shouldn't be amongst the rest of us, huh?
Wow. No, they shouldn't. They are not ever going to be a part of social norms that the rest of us adhere to. And the problem is now we're going too far in the other direction, where we're labeling every man who does something wrong to a woman as a sexual predator. And that's not necessarily the case. We also have to realize that it's not just women that are victims, and it's not just men who are offenders. Again, we're talking about,
but that's
about
the vast majority, isn't it?
Well, of course, yes, it absolutely is. But, and we're seeing cases, and we have been in the last, 10 years, female teachers, young female teachers, becoming sexually involved with underage boys. And we talked about this on another Life Liberty show. And that's becoming an issue too. And so we've got to take a hard and new look at this situation. Because for a long time, remember, we were sort of excusing some of this stuff. We're like, the offenders are victims, and we can counsel our way out of it, and we can, hug, if we just hug them enough, and if they had only been breastfed for longer than 6 months, they wouldn't be sex offenders. We have to realize the evil nature of the ones who are evil.
And that is, Sergeant Betsy, I have to tell you, I wonder, really wonder, what is it that drives one to do these kinds of things? And I can never, and maybe you can answer that question in a bit here, but because I often wonder when I see the news reports and I see what people do, like, for instance, even in this story in Time magazine, and let me just read you this, everybody, here. It goes on to say here, they sit in the circle, the man who exposed himself to at least 100 women, next to the man who molested his stepdaughter, across from the man who sexually assaulted his neighbor. The group includes Matt, whose online chats led to prison, Rob, who was arrested for statutory rape, and Kevin, who spent decades masturbating next to women in movie theaters. Wow. It goes on, then again, you know, some of these get very violent. They're violent, violent rapes. And then you've got the Bill Cosbys of the world that take, you know, drugs and they slip them into drinks and then have their way with women when they're incapacitated and have no way to defend themselves whatsoever. And then you have scum like Harvey Weinstein that use their power and prestige, which is what Sergeant Betsy was saying moments ago here, to, you know, just to have their way again for power control of some sort, using sex as some sort of a vice to feel engaged or enraged. Or these are sick people, clearly, very sick. These people who were in our movies and producers, directors, stars, singers, what have you, they shouldn't be out amongst us either. Yet they had the money and the power to do that and be there. So, but I often wonder, what is it that drives somebody? Because you're listening to me now. I think a lot of you, I'm hoping you would be like me and think, in your wildest, crazy dreams, you could never consider being in that position. And first of all, hurting anybody to that matter, putting yourself on anybody, back to what Dr. Faye said a moment ago, that space, that personal space, number one. But two, the pure violation of it. And it does kind of go down the road where it's just short of killing somebody. I think that's an interesting point Sergeant Betsy makes. Just short of that, it's the power that one is seeking. And wow, it gets pretty heavy. This is kind of a sick thing about society and human beings, that sometimes they act like nothing more than animals. In fact, sometimes the animals are more respectful. Be back in just a moment. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are back here. I want to talk about childhood. I want to talk about growing up. I want to talk about these things that happen to us. And, you know, everything I see, everything I've learned, everything I understand, people, is that however we're shaped before the age of 10, let's say, and that's probably even aggressive. It's probably more like 6 or 7, but let's call it 10, is who we're going to be as adults. So a lot of these things that are happening in our childhood, which really comes back to how important children are and the protection of children on all levels, we all should be doing that. But think about that, because a lot of these things that happen have come back from their childhood. And then, as Sergeant Betsy was saying a moment ago, you know, I got to tell you, Betsy, a lot of times these things are like people will say, well, it's kind of an excuse sometimes. It's like, well, but, you know, well, we'll forgive that person because, you know, they were abused as well. It's like somehow it's some sort of an excuse. I actually hear that quite a bit. Like, mm-hmm. It was an excuse somehow because Johnny was, you know, raped as a, you know, 12-year-old. And so now he's out doing it to other people. And so should we have compassion for Johnny because of that, Sergeant Betsy, or...
Well, you know, Johnny has a prefrontal cortex in his brain, just like everybody else, where he can make decisions. And, you know, there's something called impulse control. And just because you were abused as a child doesn't mean that, yeah, you might have the impulses to go ahead and abuse as an adult. That doesn't mean you should follow those impulses. But see, we make excuses for people. And, you know, then it just becomes, well, then it becomes this horrible cycle. And then he abuses kids who grow up to abuse kids. And so I don't know if compassion is the right word. I think we throw that around too much. I guess maybe an intellectual understanding of why he does what he does. But still, then Johnny needs to go to prison if he molests a child, even though he was molested.
So he doesn't get a break because of that, clearly. No.
And in fact, here's one of the things that, and my husband always says this about criminals, sometimes the only way to deal with a criminal is to age him. And the way you age a criminal is put him in prison until he's too old to reoffend. And that's what we ought to be doing with sex offenders, is we got to age them. And again, let's go back to, you know, what else can we do? There have been in different states movements to do that, chemical castration, by not by the government, but, you know, if the offenders want to.
They have to agree to it, in other
volunteer
words.
To be in that program, you know, that's something. But, of course, everybody gets hysterical about that.
I want to talk more about that. You've said it now a couple of times, and I've always been fascinated with chemical castration and other, because there are times when I've heard some crimes and some criminal aspects that have been done, and I've always wanted them to be like a permanent real castration, Sergeant Betsy, and carry a bag around with them for the rest of their life.
That's a different thing, Malcolm.
No, I know. I hear you, love. But I'm saying that's how much I took it in. Is it, you know, like, right. Sometimes you hear these crimes. Come on, you know, I mean, and I know that doesn't sound right, but, I mean, the baloney. I mean, if they've done something so bad, so evil, I mean, I got to tell you, it has crossed my mind. Now, Dr. Fay, is that wrong? Because that's crossed my mind. Now, and I'm being very serious here. Let's say there was a guy, and he went ahead and did X, Y, and Z to these young girls or what have you, and really butchered their lives. What I think should happen, we should absolutely cut his penis off 100,000,000%, and he should be attached to a bag for the rest of his life. And now he can't screw anything. How's that?
So you're asking me that question.
Well, we'll start with you, and then since you're the ordained minister, we'll start with you, and then I'll go to Sergeant Betsy. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, of course, I don't see it that way, but here's what I do see.
Yeah.
Is that people were beheaded for less.
Beheaded for? So you want to cut their heads off. God love you. Wow. Terrific. Wow. But you're talking about the big head on the head shoulder, not the little head down below. Maybe that's an idea. Maybe you cut maybe we give them a choice, Faye. We got to cut one of your heads off. Do you want the big head or the small head cut off? Which one? I love it.
Before we were more civilized, I guess, you know, people were beheaded for less and hung for less than these horrendous crimes against children. I like what Betsy said earlier about, because someone has been offended, that we have an intellectual understanding of why. So we use that as a marker, not for their favor, but for our own maturity in how to handle these cases with children. So to target children, to look for them, for school counselors, ministers, people who are in that position to have contact with children, to be more sensitive. That's where compassion comes in. To be more sensitive and compassionate toward children who show signs of any type of abuse, because there are certain natural behaviors a child does have.
See, a lot of them don't tell us this. We don't find out till 30 years later, Faye. See?
That's what I'm saying. But before the 30 years, let's just for today. Okay. And you see a child and you're in the presence of a child, it's not 30 years later, it's now. Okay. So that you can pinpoint, like, be very aware of what a child would say. I can remember moments where children gave me warning signs and I missed those cues. Now I don't miss those cues. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That was intellectual understanding. Or when an adult is placed in a position where, oh, it's because of what happened to me. I was molested as a child. And I think, okay, I don't feel sorry for that person in that moment. For the child part of that person, I do. Does that make sense? For the child part, I do. But for the adult that has had exposure, you've watched enough television to know better by now. So
exactly.
if you've gotten to the place, you're now 30 and not 3, then you're responsible. You're responsible for your decisions now. So we have to hold you accountable for what you did today, not what happened to you when you were 3.
I used to teach a class to parents about how to recognize this and prevent your kids from being sexually assaulted, from being molested, from being victimized. And a big part of it was how to recognize those signs in their children, and also how to teach your children to respect themselves. We do a terrible job of that in this society, of teaching kids how to have respect for themselves, you know. And I don't mean to teach them to be obnoxious little a-holes, but to teach them that it's okay to say no to adults, and it's okay to protect, you know, what is yours, your private parts and things like that. And then on to when they're teenagers, because this gets all so messy. Sexual assault gets messy because sex is messy. Mm-hmm. And you know, I used to teach, another class I used to teach was no means no, what Dr. Faye said at the beginning of the show, no means no. And you wouldn't believe how many 14-year-old girls and boys believe that it's okay for a girl to let a boy have sex with her when she doesn't want to have sex because he took her to the dance, or he bought her a nice dinner, he bought her a pretty corsage for homecoming. It's extraordinary. And you know, and that's one of the benefits of, I'm not a real big fan of the Me Too movement right now, but I think one of the benefits coming out of it is we are going to be teaching young girls more and more in this society, and young boys too, to respect themselves and respect their bodies.
Sergeant Betsy, talk to us about chemical castration, please. How does it work? What does it do? What's the program on that?
Well, basically, instead of surgical castration, where you remove the testicles, chemical castration, and I'm not a doctor, but basically what it does is eliminates the function of the testicles. So, you know, and there's some programs who also introduce estrogen, things like that. But basically you're kind of removing the ability that all that testosterone and all that to sexually offend with your penis. Now, understand, you don't need a penis to sexually assault. And I have read about cases where even though someone's been chemically castrated, then they still offended, physically violently offended people. They just didn't do it with their penis. So it you have to be very specific in the type of offender.
Well, that's when you put a bullet in their head. That's called permanent castration, is what that's called.
We have something called the Constitution, Malcolm, where we can't do that. But on a lot of sex offenders, and especially I like it when we're talking about child molesters, because people who molest children, men who molest children, boys or girls, they get aroused by the images of children. So you take away that ability to be aroused through chemical castration, and they'll leave those children alone. It's mostly it's literally chemical, like shots and things like that.
I mean, this sounds and you're saying you're saying if you have the shots or the pills or whatever it is, this chemical that gets inside of you, and then that removes the urge, yes?
Well, it removes the testicles, which removes the ability to have the urge to get sexually aroused.
Okay.
So that's what you want to eliminate, the sexual arousal. There's other programs all very controversial. But for example, they'll use virtual reality where they'll have the sex offender and they'll show them images of naked children. They'll get an erection and they get zapped, you know, for example, with electricity or whatever. And so they train their body not to be aroused by images of children. I don't think that works as well because it's not permanent. But again, when you have an adult who gets aroused, sexually aroused by the images of children,
right,
that's a very hard case, and you need to take a hard line to that. So you either got to lock them up, or you got to do something to their body so they can't get aroused.
Their brain does that, Betsy. What is it in their brain that does that to a human being? Because it doesn't sound like anywhere near normal. So how does that happen?
Well,
how does somebody get aroused from a kid? I don't get it.
A lot of times it's because they were sexually assaulted when they were young.
I see.
Sometimes, and again, in your brain, there's something called your prefrontal cortex, which is the social norming part of your brain, and that's just broken.
And then the part just to the side of that is the screwed up part.
Exactly. Yeah. I, you know, I mean, this is, it's a really complicated issue.
Wow.
You know, there's no easy answer. The best answer to this is prevention. Okay. And we don't talk enough about prevention. Okay. Sexual predation. You may have, for example, and we see this with some frequency. A couple of guys go out and do a burglary, right? They go break into somebody's home and there happens to be a woman home. You know, they thought there was no one home. So the woman is there. And so they end up raping her. They didn't intend to go out and rape somebody. But again, that's that power where, you know, they got all hyped up from kicking in a door and they're going to steal all the stuff, commit this burglary. Then there's a woman there and that, because again, I'm not a guy, but, men get sexually aroused in non-sexual, if you will, situations sometimes. So a burglar who's getting all amped up because they're doing a burglary and yeah, I'm going to steal this TV and all that stuff. And then boom, there's a woman in front of him. Well, let's do this too. This is why ISIS uses women as sex slaves when their fighters go out and they do whatever they do. And then they come back and what do? They rape. We see this all the time. We see this in Darfur. We see this everywhere, where rape is used as another weapon, and frankly, it's often worse than getting. You know, a lot of the Middle Eastern sex slaves will tell you, "I'd rather have them put a bullet in my head than rape me again," because it's just so incredibly violent. Wow. So there's lots of different types of sex offenders. When you look at child molesters. You know, we look at Michael Jackson, you know, the guy was a child molester. Everybody knows that. But he was the type of child molester who really believed that he was showing love to those children. Wow. And that's the only way he knew how to show love. I don't believe he was a
violent wonder how
guy.
He would have gone down today in today's world of all these stars now. Happened with Weinstein, you know. I wonder what would have happened to him, because he probably would be in that list right now. You know what I mean?
Maybe. I don't know. That guy was so beloved.
Well, he was, but so was Bill Cosby and Kevin Spacey love. I mean, they were beloved as well. I mean, nobody would ever thought. Yeah, I mean, Bill Cosby was America's dad. I mean,
I think in today's Me Too scene, I think Michael Jackson would have had to come out and talk about his own victimization. There's no doubt in my mind that Michael Jackson is a victim. You know, was a victim when he was a child.
In his own childhood. So, I see.
You know, I think that's the only.
There are people like that, like I say, who are victims and offenders both, right. Which is pretty
doesn't
sad.
Excuse it. Doesn't
it doesn't excuse it. Right. That's interesting. It is a crazy subject. This whole topic is out there. Dr. Fain, you know, we talk about these things on the platform that other people, like you always say, other people are afraid to talk about it, but we kind of expose all these things. We put them out there and discuss them. But I'm really interested in the castration thing that Sergeant Betsy's saying, the chemical castration, a piece of this. Mm-hmm. I think that should be mandatory across the I'm telling you right now. I'm very serious. There should be absolute legislation for that. As far as you saying, well, that's a little tricky. Baloney. That's a little tricky. You put your hand in the cookie jar, you are done. You are having chemical castration. Dr. Fay, is that too much? Now we're talking chemical. I didn't say cut their things off. So
well, with the thing with Monsanto, I don't want to promote chemicals at all.
We did the Monsanto thing, yeah.
Yeah. So what I was thinking about with this conversation we're having today, because many of our conversations here on Life, Liberty, and on the platform are so timely and in the news today at current events. And I'm thinking about how all of this is coming to a head. That something has to break. We have 20 states that do not have any mandatory reporting for sexual offenders unless they have been paroled or they are a dangerous sex offender, you know? And so we still have 20 states that have no mandatory registration. We've got states like Missouri right now where 2,500 sex offenders can go to Arkansas, Illinois, and Kansas. And why they want to come here? Because of the lax in the registration. And so we have a lot of work to do legislative-wise to correct some of these, the way that we are allowing sex offenders, repeat sex offenders, to mainstream again. And so we're putting those same people, the guy who was, where was he, in New York, who molested a five-year-old, was given 13 years. He came back out, and what did he do? He gets on Craigslist. He posts for an assistant. He needs an assistant. So the girl shows up. What does he do? He violates her. So she reports it to the sheriff. And so now they've had to pick him up again. And just what we were talking about a few minutes ago, if it's in their DNA, right? If in their DNA, you can't just change the DNA. My answer to why do they continue to do it? Because they're demon possessed. They're the devil's children, and there's no answer to that. There's no intellectual answer to it.
Right. You're never going to fix a guy like that.
You're never going to fix them. No.
And so you got to age him in prison. And the problem with chemical castration, Malcolm, is it would have to be handled by the government, and you just don't want that. I guess, but let's
we have a private enterprise do it, but I hear you. But I mean, there are some things we need a little regulation for, not that I'm in favor of too much. You know how that goes, you know.
And once you start that, you know, who's going to make the decisions? You know, you got all of these.
Well, the
people,
courts will. The judge will when you specifically if you're harming children and you're raping children, that's not a long decision for me. I can make that decision in 1 second.
Yeah, but we don't. We have we are living in the age of a activist judiciary, and so quite frankly, I don't trust our judiciary anymore to make good.
Maybe
decisions.
You don't, but Sergeant Betsy, Dr. Fay, I'll tell you this: I'd curb it, maybe not end it, but I could curb severely sexual assaults across the board if you allowed me to do that. Absolutely, 100%. I'm very confident in it. I could curb this for the whole nation, and I would be a national hero. I would get a peace prize, for heaven's sakes, or some sort of a prize. Or
that would be the Wild Wild West, or the Wild Wild East in your case.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get a kick in the ass, but I'm not sure which. But and you guys out there, all my listeners know, you know I could curb this thing in a hot second, people. You know that. And you know they're not coming back for more because you know what? They're not going to have a penis to do so. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
I think both agree that the percentages are alarming. And that the percentages of guys that are who do this and can be saved it's minimal. As Dr. Fay says, they're evil. They're part of the devil's children. And, you know, they're wired. Something's wrong in their wiring, Dr. Fay. Their brains are off. I mean, totally, as Sergeant Betsy's been trying to point out here through the show. You know, I mean, it's obviously not normal because any normal guy couldn't even come close to that. I mean... to assault anybody or hurt anybody, I mean, it's against human principles. You don't do that stuff, let alone anything else, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But Malcolm, you talk about this on many, many shows about what we expose our children to and our parenting skills and the school systems, the education. It's the community at large. It takes a village to raise a child. It and does. I think we have failed our children across the board.
Well, let's pick that up. Love, I'm so glad you went there, Dr. Faye. Listen, it does take a village to raise a child. And do you know what, Dr. Faye? The village is corrupt. I'm not sending my kids into the village. How's that?
No, but you can create your own village, though, Malcolm.
Absolutely.
You don't
Absolutely.
Have to send your children away any place. You look around you mm-hmm. and see who has those qualities that you want to impart into your children. Who has a heart for your child? And those are the people you want to connect your child with, because you can't isolate them from society.
No, you can't.
And expect them to be healthy human beings.
Yeah, no, I hear you. The problem is, Dr. Faye, is that how many times have you heard that story where Uncle Frank was such a good guy? Oh, man. I mean, this guy has got a great personality. And Uncle Frank is, fantastic. Great with the kids. Oh. I never thought in a gazillion years that Uncle Frank would do that. Man, what is it with Uncle Frank? Well, we trusted Uncle Frank with little Cindy. We had no idea Uncle Frank was a pervert.
Well, I would never trust Uncle Frank with my little Cindy. And I have great discernment of spirit, but I would never put my daughter in the hands of a man. I just wouldn't do that.
Whoa. Why? Any guy, you mean? Any man?
Any man.
Don't trust the whole species then. Wow. Well, finally we got the truth from you, young lady. You've been hiding that all season long. Oh, all this time I thought you trusted me and loved me. Now I know the truth. All right. Come on.
No, but when you said that, I thought Uncle Frank, little Cindy. No, I just don't want that combination.
Yeah, just threw the whole species there under the bus. Get out of there. What about Aunt Tilly? Maybe she's a pervert too. We just said women do this stuff too. Do you trust her?
She could very well be, but back to this point.
What?
Discernment. Okay. You have to know those who labor among us. Who are you choosing? You spend enough time with a person, you will know their heart. You will. And it's not the surface. It's not the smile. It's not the Christmas gift. It's not the money. It's none of those things. It is the heart of people. And so when you get to the heart, then you go from the heart goes to the heart.
Well, I know what you're saying. And most people, I do know, because I know you and I know what we're talking about here. And sure, I know. And most people probably know what you're saying. But the village thing, Dr. Faye, is a beautiful thing to bring up, because we need to tell people now that parenting is a big decision. And your kids are absolutely, believe me, people are being shaped before the 10. And certainly before the 15, they're well shaped. Whatever they're going to be, they're going to be. They are. We learn it from our childhood, from our adolescent years. That's what makes us who we are later on. So here's the thing. A lot of you parents out there that are sending your kids to scouts because you think it's beautiful and safe, or you send them I'm not a big fan of sleepovers. I don't like these sleepovers where little boys or little girls go over to your friend's house. And it's always somebody, and I know because I had people in my own life say, well, but it's such and such. You know what? I don't trust such and such. I don't really know such and such. I don't know who that guy is. Well, but he seems really nice. Oh, is that not the most shallowest statement somebody ever says to you? He seems really nice. What does that mean? I mean, there's a lot of people in prison that seem really nice. I mean, I don't even know where to take that one. But that said, we hear that all the time. But it's at the scouts. It's the coach up the road. So you can't be an absentee parent today. Right. You have to be engaged with your children, as you just said, Dr. Faye, moments ago. And I think that's what you were alluding to. You have to be involved in your child's life. You're going to do scouts, you get involved in scouts with the kid. You're going to go to the coach, you get involved in that with the kid. You're going to do cheerleading, because these criminally minded people come in all sizes and shapes and theories, and they're in everyday life and they're all over the place. And when I asked you earlier, Sergeant Betsy, if you knew what the percentage may or may not be, thinking that maybe you've looked at some studies or not, you know, Sergeant Betsy, I'm going to tell you now, I think the number's pretty high. I don't know what the percentage is, but I don't think it's, I don't think it's a negligible nothing. I think it's fairly high.
Well, and again, it's because there's so many different types of offenses and offenders. And when you look at children, One of the things, and you're talking about, yeah, as a parent, you got to pay attention, and Faye's absolutely right. You know, I was one of those parents. I was not a big one for sleepovers like you, Malcolm.
Don't like them.
Parents tend to be very naive, too.
Yeah, totally.
If you've got Uncle Joe who says, oh, I'll take care of little Susie, then you need to pay attention. And one of the things that parents say is, well, but Susie seems so happy to see Uncle Joe every time.
Wow.
Here's the thing. This is what people don't understand. There are times when the sexual assault of a child is not violent per se, and that it actually feels good to the child. And so people think, well, you know, gosh, she just is always so happy to see Uncle Joe. Well, that's because Uncle Joe is giving her toys and he's touching her and he's liquoring her up. And sure, she has fun at his house. But, you know, what kind of fun are we talking about? And so parents think, oh, my God, and I used to teach classes to all the parents in my community that you've got to understand that sometimes when a child is sexually assaulted, it's not a violent rape. It is a long-term process of convincing this child that this is a normal relationship. So, yeah, is it, you know, Uncle Joe seems like a good guy? Maybe he is. But we have got to do what? We've got to parent our own children, and we've got to make sure that we understand how to keep our children safe. I can't tell you how many cases I handled where who was the molester? The stepdad. Mm-hmm. And I can't.
Is that because they don't have a direct blood link to them? Is that why? That's
there's a theory of when does a man bond with a child, and if they never bonded with that child as a parent, there's that theory. There are men, lots and lots of men, who seek out women with young children, boys and girls, and get into relationships with them. And I have had case after case after case, so tragic, where the woman, after we found out the stepdad or the boyfriend was molesting the child, they chose the man over their child.
Yeah,
and I'm sure here. You've seen that too, right, Faye?
It same just
breaks
here.
Your heart. It just breaks your heart. So part of the prevention is the mom, you know, where she's so screwed up that she says, well, you know, and again, I've sat down with sex offenders to interview them, and I've had to say, oh, you're right, Joe, that little three-year-old, that seductive little bitch, boy, I know she came on to you. It makes me want to throw up, but that's how you have to deal with them to get them to confess. And they really believe that three-year-old Susie was just a seductive bitch, and they couldn't help it. It's just, there's a lot of evil in the world.
Yeah. So prevention, Dr. Faye, what's the word on your end for beyond the village comment, I find very interesting. And you're right with a lot of what you say. I've just become very, I don't know what you want to call it, but I just don't trust, cynical, whatever you want to say. But you just can't trust the village anymore. But you're saying make sure you know who the village is, who's in the village and what's going on. And I get that. Yeah.
Get all of the idiots out of your village and just get down to the true get down to people who care, because there are still enough caring people. We talk a lot about the evil in our society, but there's a lot of love here too. There's a lot of loving and kind people. There's a lot of people who care about your children that you may not even know, that care about your children and care about your life. And so we have to have open hearts, open enough to receive the love that God sends, so that we don't repel everything and become so isolated that we become more like the robots than the robots. And we were given this need for human connectedness for a reason. And our children definitely need it more than anyone else in our circle, because as Bessie pointed out, these children are being, if they're being touched, if they're being loved on and shown all this kindness, then they mistake it for love. So they grow up with that in their psychology, their minds, their emotions are connected to, okay, you're showing me love, therefore I have to give you something back, because this was an exchange that was going on when they were 3, 4, 5 years old. You give me something, I do this. So by the time they're 13, 14, 15 years old, the boy brings them candy, they give them the body. So they have become mm-hmm. accustomed to this exchange, this currency that's going on with them. So we have to, as adults, whether you're a parent or just as adults, period, we have to be well educated and well informed and be so open to love children. I love all children, even the ones that parents say, oh, he's so bad. I don't think any kid is bad. I think you have to teach children. So I'm open to love all children. So I'm a safe place. So you have to decide if you are a safe place, and you decide whether or not your neighbor is a safe place, and put those people, Malcolm, around your children. You be there. Yeah. If you still feel unsafe, take them to Uncle Johnny's house and be there with them and mm-hmm. watch the interaction. Because, and you listen to what people tell you. I learned years ago from a very seasoned lady who said, if you listen, people will tell on themselves. Mm-hmm. You have to have an ear to hear what these demons are saying. They will let you know where they are. You watch them as they're watching television or the cheerleaders, or, you know, watch how they respond to a child's walk away. You can see it from the corner. Their vision will shift to a little girl walking down the street. Why would you even look in that direction mm-hmm. as Amen. An old guy? Really? Mm-hmm. So people will mm-hmm. tell on themselves. So it's easy. It really is easy. If you want a village, it's easy to put one together for yourself. And again, I don't recommend any parent just send their child over or to a sleepover. We don't do it. My parents didn't do that. We didn't know what that meant.
Well, they're all doing it today. It's a very big thing in the school systems now where they want to just sleep over. It's very commonplace. And, you know,
because people want to get rid of their kids. That's
exactly,
the problem.
Exactly. They think they're babysitters, and they can go out and do their thing for the evening. You see, it's better mm-hmm. than locking the kid up in a hot car and being arrested, right?
Right.
So I hate to be so cruel about it, but the bottom line to me on prevention, ladies, is you've got to be involved in your kid's life. The sleepover thing, or the scouts, or the whatever it is. You sending the kid off. You just take a. You know, it takes. Think of it this way. It only takes one time, one incident to destroy a life. That's all it takes, mm-hmm. people. Are you willing to risk the life of your child by taking that risk? And then you say, well, what is the risk? Why take the chance? And just because somebody seems, you know, normal, whatever that means, is not reason enough. Just because we like them or they seem happy or well-adjusted. I just don't think, so you got to be involved in the kid's life. I think that's the best prevention there is. I think is to stay close to your kid if you're going to have the kid. And again, Dr. Fay, like you say, you love kids and you can do it. Yeah, I would say the same thing too. I love kids and all, especially when they're over somebody else's house. I definitely love them a lot. Sergeant Betsy, last word. You like kids too, Sergeant Betsy?
I love them, but I'm so happy none of mine
exactly,
live anymore.
Exactly.
God bless them.
So we started with that Time magazine and the big question on the cover, which was, can bad men change? That was the question. And so we're going to answer that now for you, and I'm going to tell you the answer is no, they cannot. Pretty much, if you listen to Sergeant Betsy and Dr. Fay, pretty much it is what it is, and many of these people need to be institutionalized is probably it, because they seem to be habitual and can't help. Now, there are some very rare exceptions to the road here is what I'm hearing, is what you're saying. But anyways, so I just wanted to put that back out there. The other thing about this Times magazine, I love people, is it goes on, it says, plus, what to do with Harvey, Charlie, Matt, and, well, I got an answer for you there, too. I got a form of castration that'll help those cats out. But that's another story for another day, friends. It's been real fun here, but you know how it is, keeping it real. We call it the out loud truth, and, you know, I just think it's all fear. It's all fear. It's all good. But don't mess with my kids. Let me tell you what. You won't have to worry about be castrated. You'll have other problems. Friends, we'll have it right there. Thank you so much for joining us on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure Season 2. We continue on our march here to the close, to the finale, which is going to be Wednesday, May 30th. We'll see you there on that. And some very interesting shows and topics coming up in the next couple of weeks here. Thank you again, Sergeant Betsy Smith, Dr. Fay Wilson. This is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued, friends.